You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
What is going on, y'all? We are back, another edition of No Bets Barred. This time, Noche UFC Alexa Grasso defends her belt against Valentina Shevchenko. Should be fun. Mexican Independence Day, I believe, September 16th from T-Mobile Arena. Would be really sick if this was in like Mexico City or something, but still should be a really cool night. Should be a fun night of fights. And I'm looking forward to it. How we feeling, Jed?
You know, a little bit of PTSD kicking up this week.
I was going to say, are we all right this week? Like, are we okay?
I don't know. It's, you know, a part of me is confused about how to feel. And then part of me is even more confused because we live in a world where Sean Strickland's middleweight champion of the world. So,
yeah,
I don't know anything anymore. I know things anymore.
You're not kidding. I legitimately know nothing. I feel like I've known nothing, but now I really know that I know nothing. Yeah, I mean, I had a winning week depending on Adesanya, and I'm not going to lie, going into it, I was just like, another winning week, let's go. In fact, it was not a winning week after the things happened. And I feel like it was probably like a couple minutes into round three when I was like, oh, like Sean Strickland's going to win this, isn't he? It was like right at that halfway point in the fight, I was like, wow, this is really happening. I was like, this is insane. This is crazy.
Yeah, man. Round three was when I knew that I was dead. I ended up being overexposed on Izzy, like you.
Love it.
You know, why wouldn't you be? And so it was like, well, you know, didn't lose a ton. But in the third round, the second round, I thought, okay, we're back. Like, we had the scare at round one, the end of round one. Was like, we're back. Now he's about to be the most cautious Izzy we've ever seen. He's just going to lightly kick him in the leg a bunch and avoid all conflict for the next, you know, 20 minutes, the same way he did with the old Romero and Jared Cannonier. And it won't be pretty, but that'll be a winning ticket. And then round three started, and Sean Strickland was like, that's not the kind of game we will be playing today, sir. And took it from him. And so, honestly, Connor, I want to be clear. I'm not upset by what happened. I'm shocked and awed. It's an incredible achievement. But for whatever reason, that is an outcome that makes me think I should not gamble on MMA anymore. Because
you're not kidding, dude. It really is one of those fights where you're like, this sport, the fact that all time I am profitable by like a very nice margin is a pat on the back to myself. I know you had a profitable year last year. This is not an easy sport to bet.
Dude, it's impossible. And like, as I felt so weird thinking about it, I was like, holy, I was just getting into this week. I was like, honestly, dude, do I even want to make bets? What am I even doing? Because this isn't a bad beat. This isn't like, oh, it's a really tough beat and I'm so frustrated that I feel like I got robbed because of bad decision.
No,
it's a bad bet. Herb Dean. It was an awful bet, and it was a bet that I couldn't even see how it happened. Could not see. I said on various programs,
yeah,
I honestly just don't know how he can win. And I wasn't the only person in the space. A lot of really smart people were saying the same thing. Luke Thomas, God love him, he's much smarter than I am, was like, I don't really know how he can win this. And then he made it look easy. It's so, like, it is such a paradigm shifting performance that I honestly wish we had this week off so I could just sit back and kind of have some space, because I'll be honest, as we get into Noche UFC, I have very limited bets. Like, I didn't want to get, I'm so shook to my core from what Sean Strickland did that I have no confidence.
I actually have quite a few bets. yeah, I didn't expect to have this many, and yeah, I sort of just kept firing. And I'm kind of looking forward to getting into it.
I'm looking at it right now. I have 1, 2, 3 bets that I have already punched in. I've got 2 that I want to talk through with you, get vibes, see how we feel. Maybe I'll go a little sprinkles on, and then, 2 parlays that may or may not, you know, be wise ideas. So I'm excited to hear that you've got a lot of action. Maybe you can gin me up, because it's not a bad card. Look, a lot of the fights here are good fights. It's you know, it's going to be a quality event. It's just I don't want to gamble this week because Sean Strickland makes me think I'm the dumbest man alive.
Yeah, so I have 12 wagers. I'm probably not. Actually, I have 11 wagers. There's one I want to talk to you about. But the thing is, 6 of them are plus money and 1 is a gimmick parlay. So like when you really chop it down, I have like 5 bets.
Okay. I also have a gimmick parlay, so I wouldn't be shocked if it's the exact same gimmick parlay.
That's fantastic. Pretty big layup this week. Dive right in. Let's jump into the main event.
Can we briefly talk about our whiff last week, which was good, because after the show, I realized that what I should have done, I should have just put a CKB parlay out there, you know? Just go for the full. We did go for the half cast podcast parlay, which failed. Tai Tuivasa, our boy, didn't come through. That's a shame.
I think the Tai loss hurt me more than the Izzy loss. Like, I was like, man, it was just like.
Certainly hurt more emotionally.
He just had nothing for Volkov. Like, he had nothing,
to offer.
It was.
Nothing.
It sucked. And then to get subbed like that, it's just like. I'd almost rather him have gotten starched, because it's just like, oh, it's done. Like when the sub happened, I was just like, oh,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what, CKB went what, 3-3?
Yeah. I took a little shot on that after the show, because I was like, I mean, why not? You know, we're going to do a gimmick parlay. Might as well.
The answer, because it's probably going to lose.
Yeah, but if Blood Diamond came out there and won, I would have been like, hell yeah. Turns out, Blood Diamond did not win, but he was not even the man to blow the parlay, as Shane Young. Shane Young blew it up in literally less than a minute.
Listen, there are times where I am a bad bettor. I will fully admit that. But I am a proud man that I did not lay chalk on Shane Young. I saw at some points him at like -185. If you took Shane Young at -185, that's a bad bet. That's a bad bet.
I mean, my defense is it was in a gimmick parlay. And
No. I'm not saying
the reason
to you
the parlay lost.
Yeah, I'm not saying to you directly. Yeah. I'm saying like there were people out there that took Shane Young at a minus money. That hurts. That hurts bad.
I mean, well, let's get into something else that hurts bad. Reliving Alexa Grasso versus Valentina Shevchenko.
Yeah,
won.
Man. Yeah, yeah. I guess you had to go back and watch a little tape, because it is the rematch, the Women's Flyweight Championship of the World. We're going to go 5 rounds here for the last
this.
That long. Alexa Grasso takes on Valentina Shevchenko. And what do you know? Odds are a smidge closer than last time. Valentina closed around like a -1,000 last time. Right now, you can have her. Right now, you can have her for -170. Alexa Grasso coming back +142. What are we doing, man? We buying low? We taking the discount and running, or what?
I would say that we're buying low. I will be somewhat regretfully and with a very heavy heart. I have placed a wager on Alexa Grasso to emerge as a champion.
No. You can't have done this. You can't.
I have.
You can't have done this. You can't have not. You cannot have put your entire bankroll on Valentina Shevchenko. What was the number? -850, -700. What did you take her at?
I don't even remember.
You just blacked it all out. You can't have put the
I've
whole bankroll
hard to forget
on her
this moment.
And now she's -170, and we're not even going to get a bet on her.
Well, you see, Connor, a very important thing happened between these two events. She fought and she lost. and that changes your perspective on things. I think if I am saying who is going to win this fight, I'm leaning towards Valentina Shevchenko. You go back and you rewatch the tape. Alexa Grasso had a ton of success in that fight before the finish, but so did Valentina Shevchenko. Got crucifix, got the back. Like, she was, by all accounts, had a toughish first round and then was kind of in cruise control at that point. Looked to be chalking up another W for me, just doing God's work. And then it happened. The spin, the back take, the finish, all of it. Brilliant work from Alexa Grasso. So that's why I think she probably, you know, I lean to her winning this rematch. But the factors in betting Alexa Grasso are this fight is much closer to a coin flip than it is to either woman being clearly favored, I think. And if one woman is should clearly be favored over the other at this point in time, I'm confident in saying Alexa Grasso is the one who should be favored. Not because I think that she is, quote unquote, a better fighter, but we've just seen how this historically plays out. When a long reigning champion loses the belt, we had the stat earlier this year. I don't know if you remember it. I didn't look it up again. It's something astonishing, like 3-22 or something that they win the rematch, you know?
So it's a little bit closer than that. The most recent one I saw was 12-5 now for Alexa Grasso in this situation, the fighter that took the belt is 12-5 going in. I saw a stat going into the Izzy Adesanya 2, which was an immediate rematch where the champion lost the belt. It was 12-4. So if we had any sense then.
We did have Izzy and Nunes in the last 2 years sort of flip that script a little bit. And so you could see maybe this happening here, and it totally could. But I would say my thoughts here are largely this is a value bet. Alexa Grasso is still improving. And, you know, that's one of the old cliches that I do think is true is you get 20% better when you become champion. Like, just everything sort of levels up in your game as a result of that. And I think Valentina Shevchenko is very clearly no longer at her best because she's 35 and been fighting 20 years and actually longer than 20 years. She has been fighting in MMA for 20 years. I think if you add all of her kickboxing experience, it's like 22 or 23 probably. It's just a ton of mileage. And I'm certainly a little shook watching Izzy, who has 113 fights over his career. That just adds up, man. All of this adds up. And so I think Alexa Grasso has a 50-50 shot to win this belt, and I'm getting her at plus 175. Think that's a really good price, given that she already has one. We know she can do it again. And even though I think she was losing that first fight, she was way more competitive than I thought she would be before the win. So,
all right. So you have her locked
like
in.
Like I said, I have a heavy heart. Locked in at plus 175.
All right. I mean, her number has come down. She's sitting at plus 142 right now. Another stat in your favor, underdog UFC champions are now 15-9-1. In title fights. That's via veterans minimum on Twitter. So yeah, you have that and the 12-5 of the immediate rematch. So yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it's a coin flip. It's tough trusting Valentina Shevchenko, especially when you do know the stats behind the immediate rematches and like at her age of 35, I am with you. First things first, let's just get it out of the way. The CB special is happening. Like the over 1.5 is getting parlayed. Got it at minus 390, 14 of 15 for Chevy, 9 of 11 for Grasso. Yeah, that's just the over one.
Very unsurprised by that.
Yeah, I mean, that shouldn't surprise anyone here. I haven't bet it yet, but Shevchenko by decision at plus 180 is kind of calling my name a little bit.
I think that's a much better bet than betting Shevchenko at negative dot.
I'm not betting Shevchenko's trade. There's no way. It's either this decision or nothing. I don't know why I feel like she wins. I guess it's because she was like the longest reigning champion. Like there's only been three women's flyweight champions. Two of them are fighting this weekend. That's probably why. But like the stats to back it up, 8 of her 15 UFC fights have gone to a decision. Grasso is tough. She's only been finished once in her career. and 8 of her 11 in the UFC have gone to a decision. I haven't placed it yet, but the plus 180 surprised me a little bit. I thought it would be lower than that.
Yeah, that is a, I mean, I guess it's still fairly tight, but yeah.
I mean, you're getting 150 points for what I view as her most likely outcome. Like, I feel like Grasso is gonna survive. If this does go the full 25, but man, yeah, I don't know. I was kind of hoping you were gonna be on Shevchenko and that was gonna push me over the finish line here.
Like I said, I think that she will win. I do think that when she wins, it will be by decision. I think where she had the most success was serving as a wrestler against Grasso, which is concerning for the rematch. But she's also just had a lot of success with that in her career, just body locking, taking women down, and just kind of holding that top position really strongly. But I don't know. Grasso's boxing was really on point in the first fight and was giving Shevchenko problems. She couldn't get off. And I'd be pretty shocked if Shevchenko finished her, because Grasso's been durable for most of her career and was never really close to getting in that much trouble in the bottom. I know that crucifix position, but I don't think we're near stoppage. So yeah, I like, if you're going to bet Shevchenko, I like that bet. I'm taking a value shot on Grasso. And if Shevchenko wins, then I'll be very sad about the choices I've made.
If Shevchenko wins, then I don't know. It will be like the worst played back-to-back matches in the history of ever.
It would be unfortunate. I won't even care. I already gave Shevchenko all my money, you know? I supported her all the time, so I don't feel bad about not supporting her now, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
respect. Trying to talk myself into this.
No, you don't. I will disagree here. You don't need to talk yourself into it. Alexa Grasso
it doesn't matter. I've already made the bets. So.
Yeah, true. She is an incredibly live dog here. There is no doubt about it. That's why there's no way I'm playing Tina.
Plus, it's Noche.
I know. That's like the biggest thing. Like, you can't really go against the Mexicans on their night. But man.
Yeah, don't just be rude.
We can get into that in a little bit. Let's move to the co-main event. Welterweight bout. Kevin Holland taking on Jack Della Maddalena. Right now, you can have our man, JDM, minus 148. Kevin Holland coming back at plus 124. My guy. I mean, you kind of know what's going on here. Donnie Giacomo in the building. Am I scared about the close fight with Basil? No. Am I scared of the 8-inch reach disadvantage? Am I scared about the pretty large level of competition and experience disadvantage? Also, no. None of those things.
Wow.
Give me Jack Della. Let's call it a boxing match. Kevin doesn't go for any takedowns. JDM gets it done and gets back on track and starts ascending in the rankings of the 170 division. In all honesty, all those things concern me, but I ride or die with my guys.
I love the confidence or false confidence, whatever it may be. I want to level with you here. When I was setting up my bets this week, I was ready to take a shot on Kevin Holland because, and I knew that doing that would be, a declaration of war on the podcast.
Yeah, of course.
Just be that. And so I felt a way about it. And I was like, you know what? Let's think about this. A couple of factors. One, happy birthday, Jackie Three Names. Just turned 27, like yesterday, I think. So, you know, not going to lose on his birthday week. Still, though, I keep coming back to that Basil fight, and I'm like, that's really, really awful performance from him. Mitigating circumstances, but still, bad IQ. So I decided I won't bet against him. I will let the AI overlords dictate who's going to bet. Another win last week for ChatGPT, by the way, Tyson Pedro. They called first round finish. They said he would have hurt him on the feet, but then he'd get the choke. Instead, he just got it done with the mitts in the first round. ChatGPT is dialing it up.
Computer knows.
So we went back to ChatGPT. So then if I had to bet on Kevin Holland, I would be absolved of any wrongdoing. It's the robot's fault, not me. And fortunately for you, Connor Burks, ChatGPT says that Jack Della Maddalena is going to get a dub. One thing to note before I read just the final quote here. I don't know why it did this. It decided that Jack Della Maddalena needed a nickname, and that that nickname would be The Hammer.
Let's go. Let's go. The Hammer.
So it was in a high, here's the first paragraph is, in a highly anticipated matchup in the UFC's welterweight division, Kevin Trailblazer Holland squares off against undefeated sensation Jack The Hammer Della Maddalena.
So, man, that brings up a few points. Is it Jack The Hammer Della Maddalena, or is it Jack Della The Hammer Maddalena?
Well, ChatGPT is saying Jack The Hammer Della Maddalena. So.
And is it Jack Don Giacomo Jackie Three Names The Hammer Della Maddalena, or is it Jack Della Don Giacomo The Hammer Jackie Three Names Maddalena?
Maybe it's just The Hammer Jack Don, you know, maybe we do the Jack, hammer in the front of it, you know.
Jack Don Giacomo Maddalena The Hammer. The Hammer Jack Don Giacomo Della Maddalena. There it is.
Could be any of them. Here's the bullet point of it, though. In the end, closely contested match, and the judge's decision waited with bated breath. Split decision victory for Jack The Hammer Della Maddalena. Young fighter faced adversity, but showcased his adaptability. Boom. So we're taking Jackie Three Names. We're taking The Hammer to get things done. We might even throw a little sprinkle on Jackie Three Names by Splitty when I see what that line looks like. Looks like him by decision is plus 350 or so. So maybe a little extra
Kevin
juice
Holland's
for a Splitty
tough,
line.
Kevin Holland is tough. I wouldn't be surprised if this thing goes to a decision. Honestly, both dudes are pretty tough.
Plus,
I mean,
what's Jackie going to be like when Holland's in there chatting him up, you know?
That's what I'm saying, bro. I mean, it's going to be interesting. If I'm not on Don Giacomo Army, if I'm not on the DGA, I don't know. A plus 125 on Kevin Holland ain't a bad shout. I mean,
it
8 inches.
It looked interesting before I decided to go. A lot of reach. Looked sensational against Michael Chiesa.
Looked great.
If this is a what have you done for me lately business, Kevin Holland should be a minus 350 favorite right now.
Yeah. But yeah, riding with JDM, there is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We ride till the wheels fall off. Let's keep it rolling to Bantam.
I'm glad the robots wanted me to join in with you.
It's going to feel good. Honestly, it's the bets that you doubt the most that end up hitting. So, yeah, I mean, we ride or die with the team. Let's keep it rolling. Bantamweight bout, Raul Rosas Jr. taking on Terrence Mitchell. And right now you can have Raul RRJ for minus 700. Terrence Mitchell coming back plus 500. It just kind of feels like a setup match for the young man here. Terrence Mitchell, vet of Alaska FC. Both times he went to a UFC competition, he got finished in the first round. I mean, sure, like Rosas is still obviously incredibly young, very green. So like things can happen. He could make mistakes. Terrence Mitchell does have a boatload of finishes, but like got taken down both times by Cameron Simon and finished in the first round. Kind of just feel like Rosas is going to take him down and submit him here.
Yeah, this is straightforward. I will say, and I think we talked about this heading into the Christian Rodriguez fight. I never want any of these lines with Rosas right now. Like just getting, he's 18, and I think my go-to line has been, dude, he might wake up with bad acne one day and it jacks up his whole day and he can't fight. Like, do you remember how mercurial life was being 18, 19 years old? I just don't want to be having a ton of money invested in this. So I would in general avoid this, but for the fact that I have a bet I'm interested in and I wanted to talk this one through with you.
Please, please.
He's not part of my gimmick parlay, so we're clear. Yeah, I know. We kept it a little tidier than that. Here's the thought, right?
Okay.
You think he's going to take him down, and obviously submission is the accepted idea, right? Like that's where everyone thinks we're going. That's where the betting odds certainly seem to suggest.
I know where you're heading with this.
What about a KO-TKO prop bet plus 400?
I don't think it's the worst idea that you have ever had.
Terrence Mitchell never been submitted, been knocked out pretty smoothly on the ground. We saw Simon go the GMP. It wouldn't shock me, right? Like I'd be pretty, it's pretty obvious that, yeah, Frosis gets him down, takes the neck game. But we've seen Frosis pull the ground and pound in his short career before. Sometimes it's just easier than going for the chokeout. Plus 400, big price. It's big price, 25%. So, I mean, that's the suggestion.
Jed, sometimes me and you were, us being the shitty bettors that we are, we're on the same wavelength.
And, it's a big price. I'm
going to tell you, I actually bet it yesterday when it was plus 500.
Whoa, let's go.
and I took a little stab at Raul Rosas Jr. KOTKO in round one.
Round one?
Plus 1,000.
I just a am couple so glad little you snaps. Said that because that was my next statement.
Nothing crazy. I'm just
what
saying.
What if I also added in round one? Okay. That's it then. We're locking that one in. Let me go to the betting window.
Listen,
and hand them some money.
It's very likely that he's going to get a submission. But like you mentioned, dude, Terrence Mitchell never been submitted. We have seen Raul Rosas Jr. get a KO in the last year and a half. I mean, he did it in 2022. Like, I don't think it's out of like the realm of possibilities that he takes him down and ground and pounds him. Can't get the choke. I mean, you also have to look like Terrence Mitchell. He's got 8 wins by sub. Like his BJJ is not terrible.
He can grapple.
Like,
yeah.
It's just like you kind of got to zig when they zag. I really think Raul Rosas Jr. is going to win this inside the distance. But I think it's more likely that he gets the sub, but I think the KO is a possibility too.
Dude, it's plus 400. The buy the sub prop is like minus 150.
I'm seeing minus 160 right now.
Yeah, it's a big delta. I'm taking the shot. Since you're already taking the shot with me, guaranteed loser. We've never hit a prop bet.
Oh, God.
Ever
get out
in
of
our
here.
Lives.
If a prop bet is over plus 250, it will never hit for me. It will never hit for me. I swear to God.
Could never happen.
I hit the limitations once it gets to like plus 250. I've hit a million like plus 240 is like my sweet spot. It's just like, I've hit a million of those. Oh man, like give me like a nice plus 170. It's like, oh yeah, that's the bread and the butter. Then you get to like plus 260, never is going to hit. Get it in the plus 300 range. It's just like,
it's burning money.
It burns money. It's like every time that it happens, I'm like, how does every week someone sends me how they put $5,000 on a plus 1900 prop bet? And they're just like, yeah, I won 19 grand on this. And I'm just like, I would give my left arm to hit a plus 300, a $5 plus 300 bet. Like, I swear on everything.
I'm
that
over
is
here
holy.
Betting Tafa KO round one at minus money. You know, like, shit.
It hit.
It did. I also think it was actually like plus 110 or something very dumb.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm doing that. Raul Rosas Jr. also made his way into my Mexican favorite parlay. I know he has the American flag next to his name. He technically lives in America, but he reps Mexico hard enough. He made it into the Mexican favorites parlay.
Yeah, and I understand that. It is a Mexican favorites parlay. It was just going to be the pure Mexican parlay. I wasn't going to do, you know, any of the people repping Mexico. I want, give me the full flag on Tapology. And then I was like, I don't really want to double up on Alexa Grasso, so we'll just bet her straight and then we'll pull her out. So it did become a Mexican favorites parlay.
Sweet. Let's keep it rolling then.
Speaking of.
On to our next one. Lightweight bout. Daniel Zellhuber taking on Christos Giagos right now. Zell Huber sitting there for you. Nice and pretty. Minus 270. Giagos plus 220. Yeah, deep dive for me here. Don't trust him at all, but he's a favorite. He's Mexican. He's getting parlayed.
I mean, that's such a deep dive. That is,
that's all you need to know. I do not trust this dude at all. He's burnt me twice now. When he lost, I bet him. When he won, I bet against him. And now here he is to ruin the Mexican favorite parlay.
I mean, I'm zigging where you're zagging here. I trust him now. Know why I trust him? Because I look this young man in the eyes.
Yeah.
I didn't trust him coming off Trey Ogden. We were both on him, thinking, hey, baby. young kid looking excellent. Just looks great getting off the bus. Trey Ogden, not a great fighter. No. Should show out. You know, that happened. And then I was like, all right, Lando Venata. But remember the Venata one was at Kansas City. I was at that event. I was covering that event. I talked to Daniel Zellhuber. I looked this young man in the eye, and you know, he's a trustworthy young man. He's raised right. His words is bond. He's going to come out here. He's going to do the business for us. So that's all it took to get me back in the Daniel Zellhuber business. I'm with him. Just want to say very brief shout out to Christos Giagos. I'm sorry, whoever you offended, but has not had an easy go of it inside the UFC. If you looked at the dudes that he has had to fight, Gilbert Burns, Josh Emmett, Charles Oliveira, Armand Sarukian, Thiago Moises. They are just feeding this man killers.
I mean, honestly, Jakar close and isn't an easy matchup either.
No. Chris Wade, too? Dmir Hanzovic isn't an easy matchup.
Yeah, dude. Wow. Wow. Yeah.
They have fed him a string. I canceled a fight with Joel Alvarez because of visa issues, and Joel Alvarez is a monster. They have a lot of anger towards him that they are extracting over years of slow brain damage. I don't know, but looking at his resume, it's wild to see the names he's fought.
Well, now he's got Zellhuber, the golden boy, I believe is the man's nickname. You know, never heard that one before, but alas, we keep it rolling on to the next one. Final fight on the main card, featherweight bout. Fernando Padilla taking on Kyle Nelson. And right now you can get Padilla minus 258, Nelson plus 210. Fernando Padilla from Mexico. Fernando Padilla, favorite. It's getting parlayed. I don't need to tell you any more than that.
Yeah, who would need any more information than that to lay down their
If you came here for a deep breakdown, this is a gimmick bet. It's a gimmick bet. I'm taking all the Mexican favorites, parlaying them up.
It's a very solid strategy. What do you have, six on it? Six leggers?
Five, which we can you know, debate whenever that comes around.
Okay. Fair. Well, yeah, I'm with you in my own Mexican favorite parlay. So that's it. Noche UFC, baby.
What do you want me to do? You're not talking me out of it. The bet's already been placed. Let's keep it rolling.
It's Mexican independence, guys. Come on. Think they're going to lose? You think they're going to lose?
Let's hope not. Knock on wood. Strawweight bout, Lupita Godinez taking on Elise Reed. And right now, Godinez, big time favorite. Minus 440. Elise Reed coming back plus 340. All right, man. I have an odd relationship with Lupita Godinez. I really like her. I love how game she is. I mean, she is as game as they come, anytime, anywhere, any place. I'm down for a scrap. She will do quick turnarounds. She will do whatever you need to do. She'll fight people bigger than her. No issues there. She's broken my heart before. I mean, she's a very talented grappler. And
were you on her against Angela Hill?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I t-shirt cursed her actually in that one. Have since.
Well, that's your fault then.
You know? I've since disposed of it. She's 2-0 since getting rid of the t-shirt. I'm going to be totally honest with her. If Loopy comes out here and has a wrestling and grappling heavy game plan, she is going to win this fight. Question is she going to do that? Will she do it? In her last three fights, she's attempted 8 takedowns. In the fight before that, she attempted 8 takedowns. And she dominated that fight and won 30-26. I mean, Elise Reed has gotten taken down in every one of her UFC fights. She has a 50% takedown defense. She's been controlled.
I'm honestly surprised it's 50%. Just like thinking of her fights, like she just feel like she that's
just
correct.
Like she just gets taken down. She's been controlled for 27, almost 27 minutes in 6 UFC fights. I mean, that's like almost 5 minutes a fight, and her average fight time is 11 minutes. Like the path to victory is so clear here for Godinez. I mean, it's just like come out here, wrestle. I think she could even get a finish. I mean, Reed's been finished in all 3 of her losses. I even think she's live for a finish. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna trust Loopy to get it done.
Well, I would hope so if you're putting her in the Mexican favorites parlay.
Well, she's in the Mexican favorites parlay, but then I also took her -3.5 points at -160.
Oh, -3.5 points. I like that. I really liked one of the things you said here, because obviously Loopy is in my own Mexican favorites parlay. But I'm taking Loopy inside the distance, +145. I think she's getting her first UFC finish here, man. Elise Reed, not very good. When she loses, she gets finished. I think the path to victory here is so clear. We saw Loma Luke Bombi do it. Like, it is just, you just take her down, get after it on the floor. I think she's going to do it. I think she's going to show out Mexican Independence Day. Get her first finish inside the UFC, right?
No, second. She actually got a finish over Silvana Gomez-Juarez.
Okay, that's right. Well, look, second finish inside the UFC. I think it's going to happen. +145. I honestly thought the line would be a little bit bigger. But I guess with Loopy as like a -450 or whatever, you can only ask for so much in that regard.
Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to this because I do like Lupita Godinez, and if she can get a dominant win here, like, she will be 100% back in my good graces. I started on the MMA Hour in fall of 2021, and that's when I like really started watching every single card like this and breaking down every single card. This is going to be her 8th fight in less than 2 years, like since I started on it. So like, had a lot of time with old Lupita in there, and 7 of those have gone to a decision. So I mean, spent a lot of time with old Loopy over the last couple of years. I'm hoping she shows out for us here. I will have a pretty decent exposure on her. And if I get screwed by the exposure, that's on me. That's on me for laying her at a giant number when you can't fully trust her. We're gonna know in like we're gonna know in like 3 minutes. Like, just standing, she just comes striking, out and
there's no takedowns,
jabbing. Let's say there's 1 minute and 37 seconds left in the first round. They show like the first round stats. Elise Reed, 14 significant strikes. Lupita Godinez, 9 significant strikes. No one's attempted a takedown. I will be in hell. I can guarantee you that. I'll be in hell. Know that is true.
I'll be right there with you, so it's okay.
And I'm just going to be like,
still have company.
I'm just going to be like, please just shoot a takedown. Just like, please shoot a takedown. I mean, I really think if she just comes in here and goes for it, she's going to get it done. All right, let's keep it rolling. Middleweight bout, Roman Kopylov taking on Josh Fremd right now. This number is getting juiced. Kopylov now -375, Fremd +295. Kopylov opened as a -240. He has now moved 135 points.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah. I mean, I do think he gets it done. I parlayed him up about 100 points ago. But I am also on him inside the distance at even money. Not fully sold on Fremd yet. Was not impressed by the Pickett performance. Like, the level of competition, like Jamie Pickett, Dumas, Trayshawn Gore, like, not the best level of competition. And on the flip side, man, Kopylov has been looking great lately. And I do think if this stays standing, he's going to have a pretty major striking advantage here. And then if you just look at him, I mean, he's like almost a -400 favorite, and 10 of his 11 wins are by finish. So I'm I'm cutting down that price for something where he almost always gets a finish. Yeah, I'm cool with laying that number.
If he's gonna get a win, he's gonna finish.
He's got 10 knockouts. You learn from your mistakes, Jed. We're becoming better bettors over here. Plus 125 on the knockout, plus 100 on the inside the distance. I put the knockout in the slip. I was like, nope. Let me just go inside the distance. The 25 cents. I'll pay it. Yeah. I don't need it. Just give me the inside the distance. It's too close.
You don't need it because you never know. Sometimes you could have a guy who's never submitted anyone in his entire life or hasn't done it in a decade just be like, what if I get this dude hurt and then finish him? And my name's Volkan Ozdemir, and I cost you a whole bunch of money, Jed Meshew, because you had Ozdemir by KO, TKO.
And I cost Connor his first perfect card ever, and I cost him like 6 units. But whatever. I mean, not Volkan. Shout out to you, bro, for sure. It's all love, man. Definitely just all love. Yeah. Volkan, shout out.
Yeah. I don't even know why we went to Volkan.
That's just a random example.
Random example. Or another out of nowhere, Carlos Ullberg. Maybe he decides to get
first submission win.
You know, he's got back mount and dude's flattened out and he's just pummeling left hands into him. And he's like, what if I stop doing this? And crazy things happen sometimes. So
let me throw out a crazy idea here. All right, one thing I will say.
That could be 3 events in a row that you get burnt by a KO bet.
One thing I will say is like, Ullberg at least, like it went the 3 rounds and like Jung just like wasn't going out. It was almost like Volkan was like going in there looking for a sub. Because, like, every time he had him hurt, like, he went for a sub twice before finally getting it. Yeah, he was looking for that.
But when Ullberg, like, had him at the end and he's, like, got that gift wrap and just punching him, like, just commit to it, dude. You've got, like, 10 seconds. Just swing a bunch and maybe the ref will stop it. Come on. And then he sneaks it under and I'm just crestfallen sitting there.
All right, let's keep it rolling. Men's flyweight bout, Edgar Chaires taking on Daniel Lacerda da Silva, whatever you want to call him. Different last name on pretty much any site you go to. It'll just be flipping and it'll be flopping. I have a
question for you.
Please.
Where is Edgar Chaires from?
That's going to be the great nation of Mexico.
And is he a favorite?
Line currently minus 250, Daniel da Silva plus 205. So, it's going to go ahead and check the box and going to have to parlay him.
I would also just like to shout out to AK Lee, the great AK Lee, who just this morning reached out to me and said, is this a spot to buy on da Silva? You know, lost 4 in a row. He can't lose 5, right?
Can't lose
like,
5.
He can't. Cannot. He's due. He's due.
He is due.
So... but I don't know, when you get finished 4 times in a row, shouts to you though, Daniel.
He's had a couple moments. Like he's had a couple moments where like, it looks like he's going to get a win.
Remember back in the day, Connor, when we would look at this fight and we would salivate at the under possibilities that Daniel da Silva, a fucking prince of flyweight unders.
Prince.
And now here we are.
So actually... 2 things real quick before we get into
retro
this.
Retro action? Are you going back?
One of us said flip flop. I did forget a very important stat from the Lupita Godinez Elise Reed fight. I forgot to mention this. Elise Reed, flip flopper. Loss, win, loss, win, loss.
Okay.
Win. Sounds to me like she's due for a loss. That's just a quick stat. Yeah, I'm bringing back the old times.
I'm back together with the old girlfriend.
And it's destined. Destined to hurt because I don't know if you remember Danny da Silva's last fight against CJ Vergara. It was one of the most pull your hair out, stomp your feet, throw a little temper tantrum misses of all time. Like it could have been stopped 90 bajillion times. And they just wanted to laugh in your face and just make it a minute and a half past it before finally getting the finish. It was just like, oh, it was like one of the worst ways to lose a bet is an over that misses by like 3 seconds or an under that misses by like a minute that could have been stopped a million times over. So I'm just signing up for that again because Chires is tough, man. He's a dog. But I mean, De Silva, like I just can't ignore the numbers. 14 of 16 under the 1.5. Chires only 8 of 15, but still 12 of his 15 haven't gone to a decision. So he does have that finishing capability. Yeah. I'm on the under 1.5 as a single. Parlayed old Edgar up in the Mexican favorites. Parlayed up the under 2.5. That I feel very good about, the under 2.5. And that's that.
Sounds like you're ready to be hurt again. So,
this is a card that I'm either going to do very well or very poorly. And I'm just mentally preparing for that.
I'm not. I obviously have old Eddie in the parlay, but can't do it to myself. I can't walk back through those old doors.
I'm ready to be hurt again. Let's keep it rolling. Women's flyweight bout. Tracy Cortez taking on Jasmine Jazadevicius. And right now, Tracy Cortez, -122. Jasmine Jazadevicius, +105. So I'm team Stay Vicious. I don't know if you're not aware of our history. She came on the show. I bet against her. She immediately saw that because she was the guest before the picks. Called me out on my bullshit.
I was
like, damn,
was
bro, awesome. I just came on the show and now you're picking against me? And she was like a +220, +225 underdog, something like that. And she won. And she won in very, very convincing fashion. 30-26s across the board against Gabriela Fernandez. Yeah, I mean, I got played like a fiddle. I got made to look dumb. Actually, now that I think about it.
You gave her that bulletin board material.
I gave her the bulletin board material. And now that I think about it, though, this might have been like a, she might have been like a +115. It was the Miranda Maverick one where she was such a massive underdog. Not jumping off now. Definitely not betting against her again. I do not want to be called out on that. And just a little stat for you. In the UFC, 4 fights, 3-0 as an underdog, 0-1 as a favorite. Jasmine likes
love
to be doubted.
That.
Likes to be doubted, man. She likes to be doubted. And I think she's live here.
By that, should we doubt her then? Would it be better for us to doubt her?
Yeah. I am doubting her. This bet's not going to hit. I'm doubting her. This bet's not going to hit.
Now, all right, Jasmine, when you hear this, just know that he's doubting you. I am not. I've chosen not to place any wagers on this fight as to the outcome. Do have this parlayed up. I've got the over 2.5 year parlayed up in my second parlay.
Yeah.
You know, another gimmicky parlay of the women's flyweight overs parlay. Took over 2.5 here, over 2.5 in the main event. Pays out at -130. But I don't know if you go to fightufcstats.com and take a look at that.
Fill me
page
in because I know what you're about to say. I know what you're about to drop on us. Go ahead and fill me in.
Average fight time for both women with like what, 12 fights between them is 10 minutes.
Yeah. 10
fights.
Minutos. 15.
Neither of them, they love the judges. They go to them every single time out. So I really think over 2.5 is a solid parlay piece here. And
I'm going
to
make it even more
enough
solid.
To parlay it up with the main.
I'm going to make it even more solid. Give you the old CBS, the Seaberg special. I'm taking the over 1.5, -600 with Rosas Mitchell under 2.5 and De Silva Chires under 2.5. That's my little propple doodle do there.
Where's the main event over 1.5?
That's in my Grasso Shevchenko over 1.5, Raul Rosas Jr., and then the first fight of the night, Josephine Knutson.
We'll get there. We're almost there, in fact.
But yeah, we are. We're moving nicely. Jessica Vicious, it's similar to JDM. I'm not going against her. You can just, there's, I think she can use her size.
Even though going against her would, I mean, I think we can say definitively help her career. You're not willing to do it.
No, because I was on her against Miranda Maverick as a massive underdog.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah, then, I'm team, you know, Stay Vicious.
She didn't need your bulletin board material there. So, okay.
She actually is like constantly mispriced by the markets. She was a minus 250 against Natalia Silva. That was incorrect. And then all her other ones, she's been a fairly sized dog. I think she can use her size stuff to take downs. I mean, we saw her stuff all of Miranda Maverick. So,
size is critical to beating Cortez here.
Yeah. All right, let's keep it rolling. Lightweight bout, Charlie Campbell taking on Alex Reyes. The long, long, long awaited return of Alex Reyes. Right now, Charlie Campbell minus 380, Alex Reyes plus 300. Weird ass matchup, man. Yeah, Reyes coming off a 6-year layoff. To the day, to the T, 9-16,
really?
17,
to the day.
9-16, 23, 6 years later, he returns against Charlie Campbell, who got a shot on the Dana White's Contender Series last year and got knocked out in the first round. And since he has proven himself, I guess, against the guy who is 9-6. So, yeah, I mean, this is just, it's a wild matchup.
This is a fight. This sure is a fight.
You nailed it. Hammer on the nail on the head. That's going to be precise there, man. It's a fight. I took the under 1.5. I don't really know who to trust on a side, but Alex Reyes, 13 of his 16 have ended in the first round, and then Charlie Campbell, 5 straight under 1.5s. Like, it wouldn't shock me if Alex Reyes just comes out here and gets finished early. Why come back?
I mean this with absolute sincerity. Should we even count your fighting career if you've been gone for 6 years?
I mean, like honestly, dude. Yeah. Also, like
you could have like a freaking
dude,
third grader.
Dude, the 6 years went like from 30 to 36. It wasn't like he took
That's
off
a
22
tough
to
six
28
years to lose.
What? Dude, I'm 30 now, and like I can see the tides turning on me. Like, a little more tired in the morning, a little more sore after workouts. Like, 36, I'm probably gonna be in a wheelchair by the time I'm 36. Like, this is, I don't know, man. I don't know, dude. Like, I don't want to say that the number is justified because Charlie Campbell like is not incredible. The fact, man.
But he's fought people in the last 6 years.
Dude, and he turns.
I want to actually be clear, because this wasn't mentioned. Charlie Campbell's entire pro career has happened during the time off by like a lot.
A lot. Yeah.
His entire amateur and pro career.
Yes.
Has happened.
I was going to say, he made his amateur debut 6 months after. Alex Reyes had started his hiatus, and he had 5 amateur fights, and now he is 9 fights into his pro career.
The last time Alex Reyes fought, Raul Rosas Jr., who is currently in the featured bout, was in 6th grade?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah, he was in middle school.
6 years ago, I should have prepared this. Here's a list of things that were true in life 6 years ago.
Gas prices were only
the Billboard number one song in the country was,
god damn it, excuse my language, I'm trying to find the UFC rankings, but the website is not loading from that time, because I think it would just be great to see.
There are so many things that would be great to see happen. Let's see. 2017.
Pound for pound, Demetrius Johnson, number 1. Conor McGregor, number 2. Miocic, number 3. DJ was our flyweight champ. Cody Garbrandt, bantamweight champ. Max Holloway was our featherweight champ. Conor McGregor, lightweight. Tyrone Woodley was our welterweight. Middleweight, Michael Bisping. Light heavyweight, DC. Heavyweight, Stipe. Joanna was our strawweight. Amanda Nunez, bantamweight. Nice.
Yeah.
I was actually hoping that to be a little bit more mind blowing, but still.
Despacito had just been overtaken by Look What You Made Me Do as the number one song in the country. I myself had been working for MMA fighting for just over a year at that point.
Wow.
The world was a very different place 6 years ago.
Did Alex Reyes? No, I'm tripping. Yeah, did he? No. I was going to say, did he fight predominantly at welterweight before this? And that's what he fought at against Mike Perry. You also have to think, he had one.
He was the King of the Cage lightweight champion.
Okay, all right. Never mind then. Yeah.
Also, King of the Cage welterweight champion as well.
Okay, all right. So that's not that weird. I was thinking he took 6 years off and now he was cutting down to lightweight. Let's take a look at the IG. IG looks good, man. Yeah, training with Brandon Moreno. Doesn't look terrible. He was supposed to fight Natan Levy, yes.
Training with Brandon Moreno. Is he an honorary Mexican this weekend?
No. I got Mexican friends. That doesn't mean I'm an honorary Mexican.
I mean, his name is also Alex Reyes. I would not at all be surprised if his heritage was, in fact, Mexican. Yeah, I mean,
that would make sense. But he's also not a favorite, so we don't have to throw him there. All right. Let's keep it rolling.
Last fight of the evening, and I'm gonna break stride here saying, I got nothing on this, so this is all you, baby.
Josephine Knutson takes on Marnik Mann in the curtain jerker of the evening. And right now, you want Knutson? You got Knutson. -550. Mann coming back +410. Yeah, Marnik Mann, that was a fun tape study. I don't think she is of UFC caliber. I mean, she is
a terrific nickname though. The Sawed Off Savage, terrific nickname.
I will agree, that's a great nickname. Matchup is happening because of multiple fallouts. I'll be honest, Josephine Knutson is here because of multiple fallouts. I mean, actually, like, the timeline of this fight is kind insane. Of ridiculous. Yeah, so we started out OG. It was supposed to be Elise Reed versus Cynthia Calvillo. And let me tell you how we get here. Cynthia Calvillo, Elise Reed to Josephine Knutson, Marnik Mann. All right, so we start out Cynthia Calvillo, Elise Reed. Cynthia Calvillo drops off. Then we get Yasmin Lucindo versus Elise Reed. Sam Hughes drops off against Lupita Godinez. So now we shift Elise Reed to fight Lupita Godinez. That one is in the books and that's good to go. Now Yasmin Lucindo's on the card without an opponent. Step in Josephine Knutson. Now we have that matchup. Yasmin Lucindo drops off the card and now we have the featured starting bout of the evening. Josephine Knutson versus Marnik.
I mean, that's a
long
journey.
Road to get
road to get here for two women who will not make their presence particularly known in this.
Knutson just had a decent win on the Contender Series. Didn't get a contract. Now she gets a new opportunity. And I think she's going to capitalize. I think she gets it done fairly easily here. I mean, on the feet, I think she's just going to outclass her. Kickboxing acumen. She's got versatile striking. I'm going to take Josephine Knutson to get this thing done.
Seems reasonable. I have no bets because I think I'm just never going to bet on fights between fighters with less than 10 fights.
I mean,
that's smart.
That is just about the smartest thing you could do. I can promise you that.
And that's it.
That's it. Noche UFC. Feel good.
In the books. Yeah, should be a fun little evening. I'm going to have a great time because prior to Noche UFC that weekend, going to a little Atlanta United game, Inter Miami and Leo Messi coming
Messi
to the
town.
A.
Messi
so heading
town.
To the United game, going to watch Leo Messi put up a hat trick on us. That'll be unfortunate, but also kind of dope. Leave that, head home, and watch some fist fighting. Going to be a great little evening.
That is a very good evening. I am going to be going to my friend's birthday party. and they're all big football fans. So I think I'm going to have to laptop it. I think I'm going to have to bring a laptop, hop on the old Wi-Fi, and pull up ESPN Plus, because I doubt we're getting a TV dedicated to old UFC. It's going to be tough sledding, but I do have a buddy with me that's coming that is a diehard UFC fan, so at least we'll have us.
One more thing before we go. We'll keep it real short so we can have a tidy episode. Temperature check on our boys, the dogs.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much to fucking prove at this point. Two games in, two nobody opponents. And I mean, even this weekend, we're 28
point favorites.
Two
bad first quarters.
Yeah. I mean, I cannot take anything from these two games. I mean, I honestly, I don't know when we're going to face someone that we're not a double-digit favorite against. I mean, we're 28 Tennessee. Point favorites.
And it's not. I guess we might not be a double digit favorite against Mississippi, but.
So I mean, double digit against South Carolina, double digit against UAB. I mean, Auburn, maybe we're getting into like the 17 point range. Kentucky, we're going to be a big favorite against. Vandy, we will be. Florida, we will be. Missouri, we will be. Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Auburn,
I mean,
Auburn's playing A&M though, so if they lose to A&M, then that's I mean, it's probably Mississippi, or it's definitely Tennessee. We won't be a 10-point favorite at Tennessee. We won't be a 10-point favorite.
No, I agree with you there. So temperature check is standby.
Yeah, I'm already done with Carson Beck. I have no interest in him being our quarterback.
Well, I think you're just gonna have to accept that he is.
It is. I think Kirby is a fantastic coach, and I wouldn't trade him for the world, but I'm starting to really wonder about his ability to evaluate quarterbacks. It started when he was like, Jake Fromm is the guy over Justin Fields, who then finished second in the Heisman, threw like 400 touchdowns and one interception all season. And now it's like, I know Brock Vandergrift looks electric every time he steps on the football field, but this guy, Carson Beck, he's good at missing dudes open in the end zone. We got to stick with him.
Listen, I have to disagree. Dude's got us back-to-back national championships. Whatever he says, I'm going with it.
I'm going to keep following him, but...
I mean, he's better than me, man. He's better than me. He got us two rings back-to-back. What he says goes.
Yeah, we got rings with the scrambling QB. Let's get the other scrambler back in there. Let's let Brock cook. Brock to Brock combo, that's what we need.
Well, Kirby wants, I want.
All right.
I mean, it's just that easy.
What's next week?
We're back to the Apex. Gamrot Fazeev. Two good fights, and that's it.
Love the Apex.
Yeah, we're getting
into
that.
It's been too long.
We're getting into that downturn, that gapper. Like, it's like the end of September and the beginning of August leading into the Abu Dhabi card is a definite downtime.
It's been a full month since we were at the Apex, but don't you worry, ladies and gentlemen. We got three in a row.
I mean, it's the fall special, dude.
In a row.
Grant Dawson, Bobby Green main event. Edson Barboza, Sadiq Youssef main event.
I can't believe Grant Dawson, Bobby Green's a main event. That's a great fight, honestly, but that's thin. I mean, I'm sorry.
Don't say that. Don't say that it's not a main event though, because the people will come after you. I promise.
It's the final fight of the evening, the ultimate fight.
It's a main event. They give us 45 cards a year. Quit bitching, okay? Be grateful that we have fights. You aren't allowed to criticize the fight cards ever. That's what
we're
just
going to keep doing me.
No, I'm 100% with you, dude. I was like, yeah, this Holly Holm card isn't that great. What? What did you just say? Have some respect for a living legend. All right, that's enough bullshit.
We're going to have a lot to criticize, but we can do that later.
Let's get out of here. Apex, next week. See you then.
Love y'all. We'll be right back.
Podcast Network.